Well, good morning, church. So a number of years ago, it's probably been about 16 years ago, while I was in seminary, I had to take a class in a number of classes because it was seminary, you know, because it was school. And while there, one of the classes I needed to engage in some kind of discipleship training opportunity that I had to kind of teach it, whether it's a Sunday school class or whether it's our youth ministry. And I was a youth pastor at the time, so kind of was like, I do that already, so I'm going to do something different. So as I was thinking, I was, in probably not the most sane mind of thought, I was thinking, I think I want to teach discipleship or disciple 6, 7, and 8-year-old girls. I'm going to try this. I'm going to see what's going to happen here. So Brian, in his wisest moments, reached out to the parents and said, what do you all think about this? Is this something you'd be okay with? And all the parents were on board. They were so excited. And I was like, all right. So we decided to go for 6 weeks of discipleship training for these 7, 8-year-old girls. And they came in. They were all excited. They all had their Bibles. They had their notebooks. It was absolutely awesome. And we started talking, and like we would talk about things like God loves you. I mean, that's a core faith kind of thing. God loves you. Another item would be like that you are to love one another, right, as Jesus loves you. And another would be like, I mean, you are meant here. You are put here for a purpose. I mean, that's why you were here. And so we would go through these like 6 weeks of stuff. And at the end, I asked them, I said, what is the one thing you would like to do for our kind of celebration kind of time? And they were like, we want to put makeup on you. Okay, we'll go with that. And I have a picture, but I'm not going to show you it. And it was the most interesting makeup time. I could have been on a horror show and would have won an Academy Award for best makeup. It was bad. I mean, I looked like the Joker. You know, it was unbelievable. But we spent that 6 weeks together, and shortly thereafter, I left that church, and I went to another church, and, the years went by, and you kind of wonder, as a pastor, I wonder if that had any impact on their life. I wonder if I stand up here every Sunday, and I talk to you, and I preach the Word of God, and Kim does, and Ryan does, and Rob has, you know, we preach this, but does it have any real impact? And as I started, thinking about that here recently, I remember these times throughout the course of these last 12 years or so where I would get little notes from these girls every once in a while. When they graduated high school, their moms lined them all up, and they took a picture of them, and they sent it off to me. And they were like, this is your gig group, Girls in God, G-I-G. This is your gig group. And I was like, this is absolutely amazing. And I said, that's great. But, I mean, do they have a faith? Well, yes, they do. There's one girl who's in the Peace Corps. There's another girl who's been serving for a long time now, supporting and encouraging people to eat healthier. There's people, all of them are engaged in their faith communities. They're teaching young kids. They're interacting with them. And I think, wow, I had an opportunity to be a little part of their lives when they were under 4 feet, you know? And so this morning, we're going to be talking about, Michelle and I are going to be chatting about, we're going to give you some practical things, but we're going to be talking about our responsibility to our littlest disciples and how we are to encourage them and engage them and support them. Because I believe that as we pour into them as a congregation, as we encourage parents to pour into them as families, then you will start to see these little seeds planted, and then you'll start to see these little buds grow. And then I believe one day they will bear fruit. And so whether or not you have kids of your own right now who are underneath the 4 foot tall stature, or whether or not you have no kids, this message is for you, because all of us in this room have a responsibility to preach, to share, to love on all people in the precious name of Jesus. And so we're going to use a scripture. I should probably sit down. I got really excited. We're going to use a scripture that is really not really heard of. Usually when you talk about kids, you use kind of the Jesus scripture, which said, let the children come to me. You know, that's a scripture that you will use. I can't see these people over here. I'm going to put this down here. Is that all right, Miss April? All right, there you go. And so you would use that scripture or teach your children the ways that they should go, right, and put it up on your doorpost. Yeah, those are the scriptures that we would normally use. But this scripture is kind of like obscure, isn't it? It's kind of off the beaten path. It is. So go ahead, share with us the scripture.
Okay, so the scripture for today is from Isaiah 54:13. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children.
All right. And so that's a scripture that is like not really heard. All and all your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be the peace of your children. And this scripture here, of course, is in the book of Isaiah, and Isaiah was a prophet. And as Jesus was going about his ministry in John chapter 6:45, he was probably referring to the scripture back in Isaiah when he said, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God." And so the stream of thought that people will be taught by God is really important. And on the point in which Isaiah dwells is this divine favor that God has for us is not limited to one generation. It wasn't limited to the generation that Isaiah was preaching to, but it would be passed down from generation to generation, that every generation would teach the following generation this divine providence, this divine love of God. And it would be a guarantee that this training of these children from year to year, from generation to generation, would be the responsibility of the current generation. It'd be the responsibility of Michelle, of myself, of you all, to teach the younger people. Now, it wasn't really know how that was going to happen. I mean, there wasn't anything back in Isaiah's time as they were kind of in exile and stuff like that. It was kind of all over the place. But when they got to the synagogue moment, when they all came back, it was this idea that the children would go to the synagogue for instruction. They would go there to be encouraged. Their parents would be working, and they would send their kids to the synagogue to be trained. Now, today, for those of us who work among children, the idea of discipling children is a focus that we really need to adhere to. We really need to be praying about and thinking about how do we as a church, how do us as parents, how do those of us who might not have little children, how do we all walk with kids and support and encourage them? And the work of discipling looks different now than it did 20 years ago. The work of discipling looks different now than it did 50, and it will look different in the next 5 to 10 years. And so there's this dual need here. There's a dual need because the church has a responsibility to teach children, but the primary responsibility, and we want to make sure we name this, the primary responsibility of equipping and training your children happens in your home. You see them more often during the course of the week than we will on a weekend. So if you're leaving it to us to teach your children for 1 hour a week, to teach them all of the ways of God, then guess what? We will fail miserably at that. It is your responsibility as parents. It's your responsibility as brothers and sisters in Christ to equip and train your children. Now, if we look at the divine favor of God, the idea that children should be taught by God, we also need to understand that God uses both the family and the church to accomplish that goal. And it's done by each of these places in partnership with one another. And when done well, it provides this clear direction forward into a person's foundational faith. And so Michelle's going to talk about the home and how we are to teach at home, and then I'll talk about teaching at church, and then we have some practical things to share with you.
All right, so I'll just start by introducing myself. I'm Michelle Nolt, and I am the coordinator of ECOB Kids here at church. And my family is awesome. I love them very much. I have a 11-year-old son, Ezra, and I have a 9-year-old, sometimes I have to think about their ages. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a 9-year-old daughter, Elizabeth, and then 6-year-old Emma. They each have different personalities and different, traits in their lives and attitudes. And yeah, so it's interesting, keeps things hopping. But this really is close to my heart because God is calling us, or the parents, to be the teachers of our children and to teach them about who God is. But I have a funny story to tell you about Ezra when he was like 4 or 5, maybe. I don't know. A friend of mine was coming to our house, and she was like driving along the street, and she's like looking at the houses, trying to figure out which one was ours. And she told me when she got there, she said, "I knew I was at the right house because I looked up, and in the window, I saw a naked boy jumping up and down with a lampshade on his head."
Oh no!
I was like, "Okay, excellent." So. I just wanted to tell you that story because we as parents fail. Almost every day, I feel like a failure as a parent. And it's okay because where we as parents fail, God intercedes.
Amen.
We cannot change our children's hearts. That's God's work. Mm-hmm. It's His job to do that. okay? But we do have a really important responsibility. When I see my child sinning, it wrecks my heart, and I immediately go into the, you know, I'm a terrible parent, what have I done to my kids? But I'm reminded that God is there, and he's with me, and that he's going to help me through this. We do have a job to do, and our job is to train them the best that we can and let God take care of the rest. Proverbs tells us, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Mm-hmm. How do we know how to train them, though, right? That's like, is there a manual for that? You know when they send your baby home from the hospital and they don't, like, give you what to do with them, and you're like, what? You're letting me leave with this kid and no instructions. Anyway, but we do have instructions. It's the Bible. It's Scripture. So we need to know our children well, and we also need to know Scripture ourselves, or we won't be able to train them. We need to establish a well-ordered, Christ-centered home, a home of discipline, accountability, and lots of grace. As parents, we are acting on God's behalf. He, like, lent them to us, and it's our job to act on his behalf. It's our duty and privilege to continually point them towards God. Mm-hmm. So many times when we're teaching young children, we tend to teach them, like, cute Bible stories or little, like, ditty songs that they'll remember. And I feel like we really water down what it is that God wants us to be teaching children. We're dismissing the fact that they're capable of actually having a deep and valuable relationship with Christ, mm-hmm. even at the littlest age. I just have a quick story. Sorry, I'm like totally going off script
that's
here.
That's okay. You go. Spirit's moving.
So the other day I found my little one, Emma. I found her walking around the house with, you know those little Bibles that you get at the fair? It's like just Proverbs or something, or like the little like New Testament mm-hmm. thing. She was walking around with that and a pencil, and I was like, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm going on a treasure hunt, and this is leading the way. And I was like,
wow.
I knew that she was really just looking for pretend treasure, but the fact that she was using the Bible as her guide, as her treasure map, it just like, that's what we should be doing, and we need to be teaching our kids to do that. Okay, that wasn't written in my
sermon
notes.
Done. That's awesome. That's great. All right, Dean, where are you? Oh, there you go.
Okay,
wow,
so
that's great.
Yeah. In addition to teaching them what happens in the Bible, we need to teach them to demonstrate the character by demonstrating the character of God, and we can demonstrate God's character to them through our honesty, our grace, and forgiveness. I was reading, and this quote came to mind that helped me recognize why kids need to be told everything about God, even if they can't always fully understand everything right away. It says, The child can learn the alphabet of the language, although it cannot pronounce its long words. So also can a child learn the ways of Jesus, although they may not understand the why yet. Our homes are to be places where God is glorified, where Jesus is evident, and where the Holy Spirit connects with each person in such a way that leads towards transformation.
Yeah. And the home is the largest part of this equation, right? I mean, mm-hmm. We've got to be equipping and training our kids in the way of God. And that's just one part of the equation, though. I mean, we believe that the church has a huge opportunity to not only equip and encourage parents, but we have a responsibility to train and equip the disciples, even the littlest ones. And so the conditions of the world today, I think, put an emphasis of sharing and teaching about Jesus on the back burner. And I think, like, Jesus is not out in the community right now. And I think that's just the way that the world is right now. And so the world will say that teaching about Jesus should only be done in the church and nowhere else. And we believe that the teaching of children, the ways of Jesus, need to begin at home. That's where it needs to start. And that the church can kind of help supplement that training. And training and learning is about growth. It's not about a final end product. We are constantly to be learners. We are constantly ready to be willing and able to hear what God might be calling us to do and who God might be calling us to be. And it starts even like with our kids, you know, to share the birth of Jesus is great, but to understand the purpose of him even needing to come here in the first place is really what we want to get to. I mean, the accounts of miracles and cures may appear a child to be amazing or wonderful, but But as they learn, they become to know that it's about Christ's power and divinity that allows that to happen. I mean, the great understanding of the crucifixion, you know, sometimes creates kind of pity and sadness and questions in a child's heart. It grows to this importance of life itself, that the cross is something miraculous that we need to understand. And so teaching the littles these little things along the way are wonderful, but we need to expand upon it and not just say Noah built an ark. But why did Noah have to build an ark? Because there was sin and fall in the world, but God redeems those things. And so we can talk to our littles about these items and not just let them go by a nice little quip or a nice little song that kind of makes them feel great. But we have to tell the tough things too. You know, a prayer that comes from a child's lips can turn into a fervent prayer of a righteous person. And I think about my daughter, Kaden. And if you're watching, Kaden, I'm sorry. I think about her, and she says the same prayer at dinner and breakfast and lunch, and, you know, God is great and God is good. Now we thank him for our food. By his hands we all are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread, right? You all know it, right? And as we start, you know, we say that because, you know, we want our kids to learn something and everything like that. And then what I realized here lately, in the last about 6 to 8 months or so, I usually close my prayer and say, may God bless our food and our conversation. And so she started adding that on to the end of it. And I think it's awesome. And I think she begins to understand that, you know, God, we thank you for this food. Like, God, this is a blessing that we have this right here, right now. You know, we are all fed. God, we pray that everybody is fed in this world, even though right now, that doesn't happen. But we want that to happen. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. We need each and every day, we need this. And this idea, even in a simple word, in a simple phrase like that, to go deeper into the meaning of what it is, I think is vitally important. And so God provides the growth. I love that, Michelle. Thanks for that. Because we can share and we can teach and we can train, and yet when we don't see that growth, we can get frustrated and we can get upset. But we need to recognize that God and his authority and his power is the only one that can transform hearts. He's the only one that can do that. And so when we start training children, I believe something miraculous occurs, whether it's at home or whether it's here in the church. We always get into this teaching mentality where all we have to do is teach, 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 and we challenge, challenge, challenge. But we forget, I think, one important thing, and this happens at the church so many times, and we just don't do a great job at this. We forget to celebrate. We forget to have joy in the fact that somebody is learning and growing, and we need to do a better job at that. I know we as a staff, we talk about that all the time. We need to celebrate better. We need to rejoice better. We need to have joy more in our lives. And we forget the celebration and the blessing. And what I think often is that in the training that we do, that in the ways in which we equip one another and we encourage one another, there's a blessing in the midst of it. And now if you remember the scripture, it says we will teach our kids, the Lord will teach our children, and it will bring about what?
Peace.
Peace. And so when our children are taught the ways of God, when we teach them who God is and who God calls us to be, they will have a great peace. I mean, that is the fruit of the instruction, right? Peace comes after learning, not before. Peace comes after the victory, not before the battle has even occurred. So we need to understand that this great peace does not mean we're going to master every lesson that we need to tell our kids at once. However, and difficult as it may be, we need to patiently rest in who God is and how God sent it, even through faulty people like me. And so God's word brings peace, I mean, of the heart. God's word brings peace in the home. God's word brings peace in the church. And God's word will bring peace to the children as well as you teach them. So for a few moments here remaining, we're going to want to encourage you out there with parents, for those of you who have kids, and not just parents, but for all of you adults out there that can have an impact on children in your circles and our areas and beyond. And so we came up with some thoughts, some practical things that you can do with and for the children of our church and our community. And we really encourage you to write this down, or if you don't have a piece of paper and pencil, you can type it on your computer at home, or you can take a picture at the very end. We'll have a long list of all of them. And we really encourage you to think of one of these things that you can do today to encourage somebody under 4 foot tall. Okay? You ready for this? First, to remind them of who and whose they are. Society, friends, and social media will tell them who they should be and who they are to be. And if you don't tell them that they were created in the image of God, who will? If you don't tell them that God loves them, who's going to do that? If you don't tell them that they have a family, a home, a place to come to that can be encouraging and supportive and that can train them and equip them, who's going to do that? And so they need to know who God is to understand who God created them to be. That's number one.
Number two is pray scripture over your children. Mark Batterson shares, when you pray the word of God, it's like downloading updates to your operating system. You continually upgrade your conscience so it is fine-tuned to the Holy Spirit and scriptures. So I had never really heard of praying scripture over my kids before I joined a group. It's a ministry. It's called Moms in Prayer. And it's for, like, local schools. It's actually, like, a national ministry. But what we do is a group of parents from Fulton, we get together, and we pray for our children, and we pray for the teachers and the staff. We pray for the physical building. And something I learned to do there was to take a specific scripture and actually insert my child's name into that scripture while I'm praying. It just gives you something specific to pray for, and when you pray scripture over your children or with your children at night or during the day or whenever you're praying with them, it kind of gives them an internal dialogue of the scripture rather than like their negative self-thoughts that they have. Everybody, I know everybody has that dialogue going on in your head. You talk to yourself all day long, or maybe that's just me.
It's just you.
Okay. But I would much rather have them have the words of God and scripture in their minds rather than, you know, what the world says.
Yeah.
So an example of that is my daughter Elizabeth. She went through a phase. She went through a phase. And so one of the verses that I pray for her is, Lord, let Elizabeth make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And I pray that every night with her, or let Elizabeth think about only things that are pure and holy and true and helpful, those kinds of things. And hopefully while I'm praying that, she's hearing it and she's listening to it and she's internalizing that. All right, another thing is to pray that your children will hear the voice of God. Because let me tell you, they are hearing the voice of society and this world all the time. They have it at their fingertips and their phone. They have it on their Xboxes. We got Xbox. I didn't know that you could go on YouTube and like watch Netflix on Xbox. But anyway, so they will find ways to hear from the world, and they will be bombarded by messages. And just like Pastor Brian was saying, it's going to tell them who they aren't. It's going to tell them what they need to look like. It's going to tell them what they should, how they should exercise, what sports they should play, things that they should believe are true. And we don't want that for our kids. We want them to hear the voice of God and just be able to hear who it is that God made them to be. Like all of those things we were singing in the song, Dean. We want them to know that they're chosen, that they're forsaken, that they're redeemed, that they're forgiven. We want them to know that. And so, just praying that they will hear his voice.
And I think, too, in the midst of that, one of the things that kind of struck me is this idea that if we don't teach our children to hear the voice of God in the midst of the clamor that they're in, they won't be able to hear it when it's really, really difficult when they get older, or when things really hit them sideways in this world. And so teaching them to hear the voice of God, teaching them to listen to what God might be telling them is really important, like right now, so that when the world starts crashing in, they are able to distinct what is God and what is the world. They'll be able to be attentive to those things. And so I think that's a really important one to pray that they can hear the voice of God. Another one that we wanted to share is to get to know them by being with them. And, you know, teach a life group, friends. I mean, come and be a part of their lives. Sit and come and talk and listen to them. Just be around little people. I mean, be around the 4 foot unders. And you need to ask questions and be attentive and inviting them and building relationships with them. I am just so blessed by our church, and there are a number of people here in this congregation that have supported and encouraged Caden, because I can say something And it might mean one thing, but if Michelle were to tell her to do something, she's going to do it. She's going to get it done. And I'm just so aware of that as parents. You know, they're going to hear from us one thing, but if they hear the same message from other people, it's going to be such an impact. So I think of people like Kristen Boyer, and I think of Michelle and Stacy and Sharon and Nicole, and I think of so many others that speak truth into Caden's life that are not just me, but that she hears them and she gets excited about them and she loves it when she's connecting with them. So find the opportunities to just be connected with a young person.
Yeah, I want to say something about that too, because as I was thinking about this morning after we preached in the first service, and then I was greeting people coming in the door, and I saw Judy and Peg, and I just... You don't know this, but I didn't always go to this church. I grew up at Hope United Methodist Church, and I remember them from going to Hope United Methodist Church when I was younger. And then now they come here, and it's kind of just like awesome to know that they are still here encouraging me, even in adulthood. So The relationship that you make now with a child can just live on.
Yeah.
And just, yeah. Mm-hmm. So thanks, guys. Yeah. The next thing that we want to talk about, number five, is parents, make church a priority in your life and make sure your children know that it is a priority in your life by coming here. Make it above sports, yard work, all the things. Make it the most important thing. And not just making church a priority, but making your faith a priority. But we have, if you can't actually be here at church, we have something called the Parent Q app, and it's up on the slide. It's really easy. It's free to download from your App Store or Google Play or whatever, and it actually corresponds with the lessons that we are doing for our kids every week here at church. So basically what you can do is you can have the app on your phone, and when you're shopping or you're whatever and your child pulls out your phone and wants to watch something, you can just play the Sunday school lesson for them. Mm-hmm. It's the exact same thing they would see here. It also sends you parent tips every once in a while based on your child's age. It actually counts down how many more weeks your child has with you until they turn 18, which is kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, Emma says, I want to see how many more weeks I have until I'm a grown-up.
I can't wait.
It's like 685 or something.
But it gives you that perspective that we have a certain time with our children that we need to pour into them.
Yes.
Before they kind of start doing kind of their own thing there. And it's not just for parents, it's for grandparents too.
No, yes, I mean, anybody can download
it.
You don't even actually have to go to our church, for those of you listening online.
Yeah.
Anybody can download it. It's free. And it's just really practical, like at your fingertips kind of thing.
Good.
To help you disciple your kids.
Awesome. The other thing we wanted to share is to make sure that you celebrate moments when your children take on the attitude and the manners of Jesus. Again, it's that celebration thing. Again, Caden, if you're listening, I love you, dear. You are an amazing young lady, and I am so grateful that you spend time serving other people and that she has just this heart for Power Packs. And she is there, for those of you who participate, she is there. Whenever she is here, she is there all the time. She works hard. She serves hard. She just loves Jesus, but she also loves this idea of being able to support other people and their needs. And when she does that, that just makes my heart just super sing, because I'm just amazed that she has this heart for serving others. She has this heart for loving on others like Jesus loves on us. And the last one.
Just a quick story to go with this. Sometimes you don't know that you're teaching your children, but like every single thing that you do and say, they're watching. Just beware. which can be good or bad. But so several years ago, we were at the bus stop, and I always wait at the bus stop with my kids, and there was this one child there who was in like fourth or fifth grade, and his shoes, it was winter, I remember, and the toes of his shoes were like peeling up from the sole, and his toes were actually like sticking through in his socks, and his socks were getting all wet. And my kids noticed, and they said something to me, and I was like, well, you know, his parents should buy him shoes. But then, no. Really what I said was, let's go to the store and buy him some shoes. So we went to Walmart, got some shoes, and we kind of ding-dong ditched him, dashed, whatever. We threw him at his doorstep, and then we rang the doorbell, and we quick, like, ran away, and we didn't want to make it awkward for him, but anyway, so he had the shoes on, and he wore those shoes, so that was great. What I didn't know was, fast forward to this summer, he starts coming around, hanging out with my kids on the block, and he was playing with them, and one of my kids looked down and said, "Mom, look at his shoes." And he needed new shoes again. And he was like, my child was like, "I think we really should go buy him some more shoes." So just know that whatever you're doing now is going to plant the seed for the future. And I think that's how the kids, how training them now helps them find their peace, you know, yeah. right? Like yeah. They'll grow into it. And just, so let them see the things that you're doing that are living out your faith, because that's how they will copy that behavior.
Yeah. So we'll just take a picture of that. That's our last one there. And so if you're wanting to kind of keep those in your heart and your mind, please take a look at that. We like to close the time here, and I'm just going to go ahead and pray for us right now as we kind of close up. But just we're going to pray for our littles, and we're going to pray that they are encouraged and empowered to live in the light of Christ. So God, we thank you so much for your love and for your grace. We thank you for the hope that is found in you and the joy of your salvation. We thank you, Lord God, for all of the ways in which you encourage us and challenge us and walk with us. And God, we just pray that as we walk this life, as we disciple one another, that we also really focus in on how we disciple our littles and how we encourage them and how we love on them and how we teach them and train them in your ways. So God, may our eyes and ears be open and attentive to those opportunities, and may we be bold and courageous to move forward. For we pray this in your Son's name. Amen.